Just gone 13 minutes past 7 on Monday night's arena. Divine Madness is the new production from Irish Modern Dance Theatre. It opens this Wednesday night at the Project Arts Centre in Dublin. The show is a mixture of dance and opera, exploring themes of love, grief and revenge. It's conceived and directed by John Scott. The work will feature three dancers from Irish Modern Dance and soprano Mairead Buick, and Mairead Buick and John Scott, as well as pianist Richard McGrath. So there's a little bit of music going to be performed for us before the end of this item. All three in studio with me this evening. Divine Madness, of course, John, could not only describe this show, but perhaps describe 99% of what you do in Irish Modern Dance.
I have a certain reputation, and we like to go into the studio and put anything out there and then explore it and then exhaust it and then do even more. And it seems to really flourish and glow when we go to the edge of almost craziness and take risks.
I read a definition of Divine Madness today as unconventional, outrageous, unexpected or unpredictable behaviour linked to religious or spiritual pursuits. Does that fit what you're doing?
There's something in the soprano's life and the soprano's repertory, all the different arias we're working. I had this idea first, as you know, I'm also a singer. I'm a classical singer and I trained with Veronica Dunn and then also with Janis Chapman, and I've sung with Opera Ireland in the concert hall and that. And I am working on a trilogy of pieces about music and the voice and the body. And I worked with the American choreographer, composer Meredith Monk, and I was in her piece Quarry in the States a few years ago. And she talks about the singing body and the dancing voice. And I loved that idea of the juxtaposition. And and I wanted to... The thing about the singing is that it's so physical. When you are warming up,
Let's ask Mairead about how physical it is, because she's the one that has to do the singing in this. And I don't know if you have to do any dancing or not. But I do want to pick up on the fact that when I said, how does that sound as a definition of divine madness? You said, sounds exactly correct to me.
It does sound completely. I mean, it's the perfect title for the show, because it really is that. And we explore the emotions of the soprano within different operas. So therefore, obviously, yes, singing is really physical. And
describe just how physical it is, because people might think, it's a matter of standing up there and in fact standing still to deliver your aria or whatever.
Yeah, and a lot of people say, oh, you make it look so easy. And I'm not saying it's that difficult, but I mean, we spend our time training physically, you know, singing from the pelvic muscles, and it's very primal, and I think that's why it connects so well with with dance, because singing is so physical, as is dance. So we're kind of intertwining the two together. Do you know what I mean? And the dancers are taking
dancing,
on.
Do you have dancing to do in this show?
I do, Sean.
Explain and describe.
Well, when we call it dancing, as John said, dancing is a kind of a broad term, shall we say? And so therefore, yeah, there's a lot of movement in it. It comes out of how you're, I suppose, feeling in the emotions and how we explore those emotions. It's certainly something I have never done before as a soprano. You know, as an opera singer, you don't get the chance to do this. So it's actually been amazing.
I've explored a type
it's
of
liberating.
Started with a pedestrian movement and with walking as the base, and then the walking turns into running, the running turns into something else, it turns to changes of direction to turning, you start articulating the back, you articulate the neck, the arms find new ways, and then you leave that open, and it's in a space where it's very, very open, and your body is kind of, you get your body into this neutral position that it can move around.
Yeah, because Mairead mentioned something interesting there, you know, in terms of where you're trying to get the voice to come from as a singer, you know, from down low at the very centre, in fact,
yes.
The centre of the body,
the
core, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And in terms of dance, if a dancer isn't moving from that core or that centre, it just doesn't look like a piece of dance at all.
Exactly, Sean. And what I did with the dancers as a discipline, which they found, well, they embraced it. They jumped in. I have the three most amazing dancers.
Who are they?
Conor Thomas Doherty. Conor is Irish and he lives in Holland, and he works between Belgium and Holland. He's working with the infamous director Jan Fabre in his 24-hour play Mount Olympus. He's working with the Urban Cowboys and with a lot of other very, very avant-garde dance and theatre companies. And he's come home to work with me on this. He's tall. He's extraordinary mover.
He's amazing.
Was still in school when Jan Fabre cast him, and the school supported him doing both. And he's very, very in demand. Yeah. Hannah Rogerson, who also is Irish and lives in Holland, and she's back working with us on this. And Magdalena Hylak, who is Polish, lives in Clifton, and works between Ireland and France. And she's working with the choreographer Nasera Bellezza. And they're very no-nonsense people, very rooted. And what we did as our discipline for making movement, I said, the movement must come from the breath. And we did singing. We've done these singing warm-ups like what Janice Chapman does and what Janice did with Mairead and myself. And you breathe in deeply and the movement is only generated. It's the movement. Every movement is the length of a breath.
Ah, and so like a phrase in singing.
Everything's phrased with the breath.
And I noticed that there are four arias that are involved here. Song for the Moon from Rosalka, the Dvorak opera. Eben from La Valli, the Catalani composition. And people will know that.
Yeah, they'll really recognise the melodies.
Vizzi d'Arta, I think people will know that as well, from Tosca, Puccini's Tosca. And then Verdi's Ave Maria, the Ave Maria from Verdi's Otello. Those four, if I had to ask you the state of mind of now the four different areas, but is there a connecting?
There's a, well, the connection would be love anyway, first and foremost, I think. And also probably death, you know, those, it's like love and death for a soprano and opera. They kind of,
they're right
beside each other all the time, you know, and grief and loss, you know, and I think that's, they were the, I think the core emotions as well we were trying to work off in the rehearsal room.
And there's
as well.
A yearning as well. There's something about the soprano that can take you to the highest heights. It soars. The soprano is often the victim. She's suffering. She's at risk. She's dying or being murdered. But then there's also these times when the soprano can soar. And my good friend, my good late friend Tom McIntyre, who worked with us a few years ago and who passed away the week before last, who I miss terribly. Tom made a piece for me a couple of years ago and someone said, "What are you two doing?" And Tom said, "We're making magic body poetry."
There you go. Well, that's
and
that's
in a way, this is exactly what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, that's a perfect description, what you say, of Tom McIntyre. Unfortunately, I was on holidays. I was off at the time that Tom died and really was a terrible loss to Irish theatre. But that physical aspect was always so important.
Absolutely.
To his work. You're going to sing Rosalka's.
Yeah, we're going to do a snippet of Rosalka's Song to the Moon now.
Yearning, John mentioned yearning. Yeah. Nowhere is yearning more present than in this
Rosalka,
area.
Yeah.
So give us a sense of who she is and what she's, why she's singing to the Moon here.
Well,
Maria,
she's, you know, obviously about her lover and, you know, tell him that I'm here.
And she's a water nymph.
She's a water nymph, and that's the whole, I suppose, thing about Rosalka is that she is a water nymph. And
If she leaves the water,
that's a whole other show. Yeah. You know?
And she doesn't leave the water, she doesn't get to be with her lover.
Yeah, so it's a vicious circle.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a lot of yearning going
on. Absolutely.
Well, listen, I'll let you go on over to the piano to get yourself ready for that, John.
There's something about what happens in dance and what happens in the greatest music that takes over where words can't be used.
Yeah.
And in a way, one can just stop talking and you just soar with Mairead's voice. Or you float with what the dancers are doing and what Mairead and the dancers are doing together. That is, it's very hypnotic in a way. We feel this is kind of one of my signature works.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to this kind of an abridged version, I think we could describe it, of Song to the Moon from Dvorak's Rosalka, Mairead Bewick. Song to the Moon there from Dvorak's Rosalka, performed for us this evening by soprano Mairead Bewick with Richard McGrath accompanying on piano. What people will not have seen, Mairead, while you were doing that, two things. First of all, the sheer physicality of it is really is something you need to see in terms of how you move. But just before you went into the chorus, which is that big sweeping bit where you go up to probably the highest note in the piece, I would guess. You managed to turn Richard's page on the music, which I thought very impressive to be able to choreograph that into the midst of all your singing. But it was notable, Mairead's physicality in the singing of that, John.
Yeah. Mairead has a wonderful, natural, unspoiled way of moving and a very, very strong physical presence and a very good sense of her own body. And
Is that something that has come to you, Maria, from singing, or was it, you know, were you good at gymnastics? Were you good at sports or anything like that as a younger person?
No, I wasn't actually. No, and when I went to school, I wouldn't have said I was a sporty person. I would probably be like I would say that I'm fairly fit now. Mm. You know, I enjoy exercising. I cycle a lot, and you know.
The singing has brought you to a type of physicality that maybe you wouldn't have got to otherwise?
I think it's funny. When I went to Janice Chapman first, she said something interesting to me. She said, "You really have a singer's body." And I didn't really understand what she meant at the time. But I think some singers connect naturally into the pelvic floor, okay? Mm. And other singers, they have to be really taught physically how to actually find those muscles and how to use them. And I think I, from a very young age, I was somebody that naturally maybe supported the voice. It just seemed natural to me. So I think I've been very fortunate from that point of view. And working with people like Dr. Veronica Doan, who was my teacher for four years in the academy, and then going on to Janice Chapman in London, both of them would have worked very much on the body and, you know, on support, the physical support of singing.
The support isn't there, it's not worth it.
Well, that's it.
So, Divine Madness, just the four arias, John, how did you go about choosing those? Did you look for them first, or did you movements first?
Moraid and I discussed them. Mm. We also have Morgan by Strauss. Richard Strauss, which is absolutely, you just melt. Everybody, even the stage manager, they're all in tears listening to it. And what people won't be used to is a venue the size of Project and this soprano full throttle and the
piano.
Well,
I just got it in Studio 7
really,
and it's pretty
really thrilling. The building is shaking from it and it's really thrilling.
Okay, well that's Divine Madness is the title of the show from Irish Modern Dance that John Scott and Mairead Buick have been speaking to us about. Richard McGrath was the pianist that you heard there as well. And it debuts this Wednesday, November the 13th at the Project Arts Centre and continues through until Saturday, November the 16th. And you can get full details from Project Arts Centre. .ie